So today I'm going to talk to you about five phrases that can change your life. And this came from a YouTube video that I watched this weekend that was really impactful for me. I love, you know, those feel-good stories where people just break out and decide they're not going to just live that standard everyday lifestyle, right? And that's what this story is about. This is somebody that, you know, decided to live his passion and to follow his heart. And the gentleman's name is Adam Braun. You can actually look it up and watch it, the YouTube video yourself. It's only 20 minutes long, so it's not like an hour you're dedicating the time. But after you listen to the call today, you'll kind of get the full gist of it. But this is a story that how to experience that, that we sit back and we know there's something more out there. Some of us intend to even grapple with a level of depression sometimes or feeling like, did I really get my voice heard on this planet while I live here? Or, you know, and then sometimes we even get to the point where we think, well, you know, it's too late for me. And the reality is it's never too late. As long as you're breathing, you have an opportunity to make a difference in this world. So don't ever take that mentality on. But the idea is not to allow our societal norms to control our life. And this is a story of Adam Braun, who's now just still, I mean, he did all this that we're going to talk about today in his 20s. I think he just turned 30 or 31 and is about to get married, or maybe he's already gotten married, but I know it was coming close in his life. But Adam Braun was a guy, you know, he grew up in a family. His parents were both Holocaust survivors, okay? So it was a tough, they had a tough existence. His education became an extreme priority of the family, and I can relate to that because that was definitely our family lifestyle, too, as we were growing up. And Adam took education very seriously. He, you know, got done with his high school, then attended Brown University. But he's talking about in this YouTube video, he's talking about five phrases that totally has guided his life. And he wanted to share that with people to see how it resonates with you. And some of these things we've talked about in the past, but this is going to give you just a little bit different perspective. Phrase one was, get out of your comfort zone. And yes, we've talked about that so many numbers of times, and I even teach on it in my self-development work I'm doing now. I teach about the nine dots, and if you don't know about that, that just reflects your comfort zone, and we get stuck in there. And I always tell people there's nothing comfortable about your comfort zone. So I've renamed it. When I teach it, and it, no one else has picked up on this that I know of, I should probably write an article and blast it out there. But I don't like the word comfort zone because there's nothing comfortable about your comfort zone. You would call it comfort, but the reality is most people are terribly uncomfortable in their comfort zone. It's nothing they ever dreamed of, nothing ever. So I call it your known zone. You know, we get stuck in known zone. So it's, you know, when we get out of there and we start feeling we're outside a comfort zone and we're outside our known zone, that's when where everything actually starts happening in your life. And Adam's story kind of begins with when he was in high school, I believe it was late years, he watched a film called Baraka. And I don't know how many of you have seen that. I haven't, but I told Lydia we're going to watch it. And Baraka, it came out in 1992. It's a non-narrative documentary film, which means there's no words to it. It's just basically a documentary film, no voiceovers. And it kind of explores themes via a compilation of natural events, life, human activities, and technological phenomenon. And it's been shot in 24 different countries on six continents over a 14-month period of time. So it's something that just is going to give you a lot of pictographs, a lot of beautiful photography, a beautiful the way they do photographic techniques as well. And so you're going to see slow motion as well as time-lapse shots and all that kind of stuff. And some of the locations featured are like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the Rayon Temple in Kyoto, Lake Natron in Tanzania, burning oil fields in Kuwait, a precipice of an active volcano, a busy subway terminal. In fact, sometimes when they were describing this, I said, I might have seen this movie, right? It has a number of long tracking shots through various settings, including it even covers Auschwitz, over photos of people involved, and some of the stuff is, you know, obviously some of the skulls stacked in rooms and things like that. But it suggests a universal cultural perspective, a universal cultural perspective. And you can actually go out and get a DVD of this today. It was released again, redone in out of the 65 millimeter negative that was, you know, now scanned at 8K resolution. They redid it so it was something more up to date. So it's been released now as a DVD, and that was done back 2008, around 2008. So you could actually acquire it. But that was, I just give that as a foundation. You know, sometimes we look back at our life and we say, what were significant events in our life that kind of might have had an impact in changing the direction? Of course, when I look at my life, I have a number of them. But, you know, why am I here with you today in Manitech? The number one reason is because of my dad. I mean, that was a phenomenal, impactful event in my life as a lawyer and a businesswoman to help my dad see a huge difference in his health. And that triggered me to feel led. And I still didn't make that decision until I had the conversation with my pastor when he told me about his experience with Ambertose, which shocked me. I didn't even know they were using it, right? This is early on, back in the early 90s. But those are events that totally change the path and course of your life because they have such a significant impact on you. You feel like there's a greater calling out there or something that's you're going to answer it. But how are we answering that? We're not answering it in our head. We're answering that calling in our heart. It's what gets us out of our comfort zone, right? Because we feel this greater calling that we have. So when Adam went through that experience, he decided when he was in college, he then took another step. In college, he decided he signed up for this semester at sea. And it was like you take a semester off of college and you go out on sea, and it's a program that stops in 10 different countries. You get on this huge, huge ocean liners, and you go to 10 different countries, and you backpack through the countries. So probably a better education than you could ever capture in one semester at any college, no matter where it was. And so he took a semester at sea, and 90 miles from the land, it happened in January 2005. In fact, you can actually go and watch a YouTube video of this because it was such a dramatic event. Their ship got hit by a 60-foot wave and almost collapsed. The ship tilted and almost was, totally overboard. It was huge. These swells came out of nowhere. They lost their navigation equipment and the power to the engines, and they started, mayday, mayday, mayday. Now, you can imagine you're a college student and you're doing this semester at sea and you're looking, staring death in the face. And that's another kind of event in a life that can change your direction. But he just felt that he was, by that threat of death in his life, he just started questioning himself that I knew I wasn't going to die. He came to the conclusion, somewhere in the realm of that, and he said, so why am I here anyway? If I'm not being called to die, why am I here anyway? And that's when he decided that he had a new purpose. He had something. He thought it through, and he said, I have a mission somewhere, so I can't perish. And that's what he just basically held him through this horrific experience on this experience like the Titanic. He had this new commitment to purpose. So hopefully we don't have to go through near-death experiences to do that, to get stuck in there. But he really started answering that. So it helped him get out of his comfort zone because it's like that's not where he was going to find his answer for what was his calling. And if he could do so, he started traveling around, and he went to one of his experiences. He went into a poverty-stricken area in India, and he asked a little child. He was walking down, and he just asked a little child, if you could have anything in the world, what would it be that you would want? And her answer was a pencil. And that just absolutely flabbergasted him and blew him away, because he thought, here's this child living in poverty. I mean, the most incredible low level of poverty that he had ever been experiencing in his life. You know, kids were dying. They had starvation. There was all sorts of stuff. And all she wanted was a pencil. And it made this resounding impact on him. Why? Because he said, if all a child wanted was a pencil, it profoundly impacted him, highlighting to him the plight of millions of children. In India, the poverty is so widespread that he started researching, and he found that back then, 60 million children in the world have no access to education. And that hit his heart so deeply. And that's what this whole concept of this pencil had impacted him. So, you know, what are we, in comparison, you know, when we look at ourselves this way, how do we get out of our comfort zone? Each one of us has different callings in our life. And, of course, Manatech in and of itself is a calling. In and of itself can be huge because of our M5M, because of the impact we have on other people's lives with these products, which, by the way, I know we don't discuss testimonials, but I just got a phenomenal one yesterday, and I wish I could share it with you guys, but I just want you all to know that these products are still having this phenomenal impact on people's health everywhere. So we know that, you know, that just gives a smile to our face and makes us feel so great inside that we were part of that process, and we charges us to just never vary from the path, right? So we have a lot that we're doing, and maybe that is your calling. I'm not questioning that. We don't have to go out and, you know, take on the world. We can just take on the world in our own location, right? But so M5M can be that for us. But we need to look at it and say, where is that internal drive in us that's causing us to do it every single day, night and day, just totally all in, totally committed, because we're changing the world? Are we getting out of our comfort zone to do that? Well, Adam, this totally challenged him in a huge way. When this whole concept of this child, all she wanted, he thought it would be food or it'd be money or it'd be something else. All she wanted was a pencil. And this is what planted the mission in him. The second, so get out of your comfort zone. That's where he found his mission, out of his comfort zone. Challenge your assumptions so you can find your truth. Because all of us have these internal truths from our heart and our soul, most of them formulated by other people and other events in our lives. We're different for each of us. And when we start challenging them, that's when we start breaking through and finding out our truth, right? What our truth is. We need to stretch ourselves in order to do that. So he of course, went on and he went back, you know, he decided that after graduation from college, he was going to go have another experience. He always in his head, as he was growing up as a kid, obviously driven, sorry, phone coming in, always driven by the, you know, his family and that drive from the Holocaust survivors. You can tell they were probably extremely motivated, extremely driven family because of the experience behind them. But he always had in his head he was going to work on Wall Street, right? That was his drive. He was going to work on Wall Street when he graduated. But after he graduated from college, he said, forget it, I'm going to take some months off, and because he had this internal drive, and he wanted to truly find that truth. He already had this experience about this kid, you know, as a semester in college, and now he was going to go and he decided to go to Guatemala and backpack for 4 months. So he went into Guatemala, and when he was traveling around Guatemala, he was asked by a man who came up to him and said, can you please, Adam, stay in my village? And he asked, and he just for 3-4 days extra, just stay in my village. And Adam was shocked. He just was like, well, why would you want me to stay? And the man shared with him that he has taught himself to read, and it was like broken English and very hard to understand. He had taught himself to read the Bible, but he can't pronounce it very well. So he found that he had a hard time teaching it and reading it to other people, teaching his children and people in his village. And he couldn't pay for him to come to his village. So Adam said, sure. So they went to this remote town. He lived in this guy's house, which was, you know, very poverty-stricken area, and for 3 days, and he read English into a recorder for 3 straight days. And this taught him how he can empower other people, right? How do I empower other people? Because now it wasn't about handouts. It was about what can I give here of my time and energy to empower other people. So that led him on a whole other path and directional about how he wanted to fulfill his truth, his purpose. He wanted to find leadership in local communities and empower communities versus just throw money at things and everything else. So he got out of that experience, that another great experience for him, and he's tapping into his calling. So I wrote out again, where's our calling? What are we tapping into? Each one of us has separate callings for ourselves, whether it's M5M or helping others through their health, through the life-changing products, supporting people to, you know, live a financially secure life. I love that. I mean, all of these are incredibly important in our world today, right? Our own health, supporting our own health, our personal finances, critically important, so we can be financially stable. Knowing the average Social Security check is $1,500, what are baby boomers doing, right? You follow? It's a crisis beyond belief, what's going on with the elderly today. But your desire, as I put in the outline, I said your desire might be something totally different. I mean, I have my own projects that I'm in, my own charitable foundation. I'm now, you know, doing a lot of self-development work out there in the community as a give back as well. I do a lot of mission trip work. Each one of us has something. And it's answering that inner core. So whatever that drive is, and Manatech is a phenomenal vehicle. I look at Manatech as the ultimate vehicle, because if M5M is your desire, or going and changing people's lives like we do every day, just like that testimonial I got yesterday, I mean, these are coming in not infrequently, and we get the benefit of just being a part of that and the celebrations of it, and just that is so fulfilling and so rewarding. I know those in and of itself can be the drive in your heart to make a difference in this world and leave this planet with this incredible difference. But my communication with you today and talking about this on the Monday call is about, are we really serious about it? And if we're not, then what is your calling? What is that voice inside of you? Because sometimes we look at our actions and we go, why are we so careless with our attention to what we have with Manatech? Why are we not out there sharing with everybody that we meet? It's not about being rejected. If this is your calling, rejection isn't even a concept in life. It's not a concept in life. We come from our heart, not our head, our heart, and go out there. So whatever that desire is, and if Manatech is your vehicle, and like Manatech for me has given me like the ultimate freedom to go out there and invest in other things and start my charity and do all the things because of the financial vehicle it is as well, and to support other people through the financial vehicle. So there's 101 purposes that you can look at Manatech to support what's driving you. What is that inner drive inside of you? How do you want to see? Yeah, right? But we have to challenge some of the assumptions we're making about our truths to break that loose and find out what that is for us. And it doesn't matter. Some people go, well, Mary, I'm too old to think about it. And I said, you're never too old. As long as you're breathing, you have something inside of you that can help you make a difference in this world in a big way. And what is that? And that's what we need to drive. So whatever that desire is, if it's not, and there's nothing wrong with saying M5M is my desire, Mary Jo, and I'm 100% all in committed. Okay, great. If you're 100% all in committed with M5M, then why aren't we getting more people started on the products? This company, Manatech, should be growing by leaps and bounds if that's our motivation. If M5M is what really is running our life, or are we superficially using that language and just saying, well, I like the fact that we do M5M, but it doesn't really matter to me. Well, then that might be your attitude, but then find something that drives you. To leave this planet without your voice being heard would be a sad thing, right? So dig deep in there and give yourself some time to just feel yourself out to what that is. And maybe, like I said, for me, Manatech is a phenomenal vehicle because what I love about it is I get to conquer world starvation in children. I get to help people all over the world with their health, which is a huge commitment in my heart, in the same process of doing what else has been laid on my heart of changing the world. You follow? So you get multitude of opportunities to help make a difference in this world through Manatech as a vehicle. But it's time now to start working on those ideas that really drive your soul, where you feel fed, where you feel that ultimate exhilaration of being fed. Then he goes into where he started his project, right, which is kind of phase three. Speak the language of the person that you seek to become. This is huge. So let's say you have somebody out there that's doing what you want to do. I suggest you read their books. I pick up their language. Start incorporating that into your daily terminology. A lot of this becomes just breaking loose from limiting beliefs you have, too, because, you know, people who change the world in this way, like Adam Braun, are not people that are shy. And he may have started that way, but they're not people that are scared of big thoughts or big ideas. They just believe whatever's out there, let's go conquer it. Just like he looked at this pencil thing, and that's what we're going to talk about now. He started, you know, getting associated with other big, you know, charitable people who had made a difference in this world, right? And he said he started with his project ideas, and he started speaking into the universe and speaking out there. I work in consulting, but I'm working to build a school. He says, I want to build one school at a time, right? He wanted to start. His first concept was, I'm going to go out there and work to build one school and affect global education. So he started with the concept of, let me get my first school started to affect global education, knowing 60 million children don't have access to education in this world. And that's his start of his concept. So it's about planning action steps. He didn't start off thinking, I'm going to build thousands of schools. He started off with, I'm going to build one school. We're going to work to support global education. That was his idea. And so you start planning action, and his action was, you know, last week we talked about how to plan out your year, and I said, no, don't plan out a year, plan out 12 weeks. Shorten it down so it's really concise. Do chunks, do little chunks at a time that are very doable. So you can have goals for your year, but you know, set 12 weeks as it. By the way, I bought all those books I recommended to you guys, so you'll probably get those in book review too, because they're great books, right? And I really want people to start being productive with their time instead of just blowing it off. We do too much of that. We have so much wasted time in our life. In fact, if you look back at the last week in your life, how much wasted time do you have? Out of your 24 hours you spend, what are you doing? Scheduling, chunk scheduling. Remember we talked about that. So, but he planned it out. How do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And that's exactly what he started with, one school. And in 2008, he started something called the Pencils of Promise. And he picked on that terminology because of that little girl in that location that he went and visited in India, stark poverty, when he asked her, if there's one thing in the world that you could have, what would that be? And she said, a pencil. And that had such a resounding impact on him. He named this whole entity Pencils of Promise, right? And he started raising funds to build that first school. He raised enough. He took a sabbatical from his job. He had taken a big job at Bain Capital, okay? At Bain Capital, he did. That was his Wall Street idea. Remember, he grew up knowing he wanted to work in Wall Street when he graduated from college. So, but he took a sabbatical from his job, and he went to Laos, one of the poorest countries in Southeast Asia. And he just went there because he wanted just another experience around what was going on, where that first school would be planted. And so he was hunting in areas of the poorest of poorest. And Pathan is the name of the first city. And he went there, and he went there, and he started, and he broke the ground. He didn't have the money to really put the school up yet, but he started, you know, looking at where it was going to be. He chose that town. And when he entered that city, or we should say like rustic area, three beautiful young girls were sitting there playing at their home on a little fence there, and he was introduced to them. And he looked at these three little girls, and he said, you're going to be our first preschool students, right? These are going to be my first preschool students. And now, he says, that languaging, when I told those people with me and those three girls, which they translated it so the girls could understand, now his vision became incredibly real. So he went back, right? He went back, and he said, he went back to his job, and he said, there's no doubt about it that now I, because that whole event made it so real to him and so touched his heart. So his phrase number four for us is, make the little decisions with your head, make the larger decisions with your heart. And when we follow your, when you follow your heart, you'll never, ever be disappointed, because your heart is your guiding light in your life. And it's about your passion for something. You don't have passion in your head, you have passion in your heart, right? So what he did is he took his whole concept. When he was at Bain Capital, he learned a concept called, it's called best in class. Okay, best in class, that's the nature. And what it was all about was how to help Fortune 500 companies even be better. How do they can fine-tune all the things? And, of course, this is very analytical and structured and everything. And he took all his training from Bain Capital and utilized all of that to go out and make a best-in-class schools for preschoolers to start that educational process in these totally destitute, poorest of poor neighborhoods around the world. And he started in Laos. He raised the money one dime at a time. People said, well, why don't you set up a nonprofit? And he says, I don't like the word nonprofit. This is, and I agree with him. When I heard this from him, I so related. Because when you say nonprofit, you're right away, if there's a negative connotation because of the non, did you think about that? And words are so powerful, so powerful. So he calls his organization a for-purpose organization. So he redefined, he says, we're driven by purpose. We're not driven by non. We're driven by purpose. So he calls it the for-purpose organization. And, of course, it's a nonprofit, but he calls it a for-purpose organization. He's just changing the terminology so that it really reflects the positivity around what he's creating. And using best-in-class problem solving for global issues. So that was his first school that he constructed. He raised the money for it, and it was in Laos. And today he now has over 400 schools are built through his organization. Is that incredible? I mean, think about it. And I think he's just in his, you know, that was when he was in mid-20s. Now he's in his 30s. You can go visit his website, www.pencilsofpromise.org, right? And those phrases are something that can really change your life. And he added one more phrase at the end of his video. He said, always ask, how can I create the most positive impact on as many lives as possible? So if our revolution is Manatech, if our revolution is changing the health of this nation, as we look around and we see massive, massive issues in our healthcare system, massive issues. We see people on massive numbers of drugs. We look at what happened in Ohio, OxyContin, all this stuff that, I mean, the drug industry and how happy the drug companies were to just oversell to all these people and destroy lives and destroy families and destroy communities. That's a reflection of our system here in the United States. It's a reflection of who we are as a nation. And I don't think anyone on this call feels like that's a part of who you are, right? But we have solutions. We have a better way. Right? We're part of this real food revolution. We're part of a anti-drug approach. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to say there are certain people that need drugs, but we've become a drug-happy, fast-food-eating nation that's almost despicable when other foreign countries, when you talk to people that have had the definition of GMO in their laws for the last 15 years, you know, the United States still doesn't have the definition of GMO in our federal laws. GMO doesn't exist in our federal laws, and that's because of the power of our food industry. You follow me? The United States, the most sophisticated country in the world, doesn't have a definition of GMO. There are 59 countries out there that have outlawed GMO over the last 20 years, and we don't even have a definition yet. Do you follow how backward we are? We call ourselves so advanced, yet we have all these problems, and we have solutions. As people in Manatech, we can help people with their health with all these phenomenal products. So if that's our revolution, so we say, how can I create the most positive income and as many lives as possible? Why do I hear whiny from the field? Why do I hear people whining about, well, I don't know how to talk to somebody. I don't know how to share. I don't know what to do. Well, network marketing is this. Or if somebody gets me, well, you know, you don't have to sell network marketing if you don't want to. But I think you have a really easy topic to discuss with people which every person's concerned of in this world, which is called health, having better health, right? And so if people are interested in greater health, you have a great solution for them. And it's time we really get out there and make a difference in people's lives and take this on with the same vim and vigor that we had. Maybe in some of your from back in the 90s when you could make all these heal, cure, mitigate statements, you know, all that stuff's still happening. We just can't say it. But the idea is that why aren't we out there with the same vigor that we had back then? Because we aren't creating the same results, so what? So you don't get 10 signed up in a month, you only get 5. But even if you only get 1, you have changed that life. And many of them forever. I walked around my church yesterday and I was looking at all the people in my church. I mean, I had one woman come up to me. I was talking to somebody and she came up and I was just chatting away about something and they said, "Joyce, you look so great." 6 years ago, she was about to have a colostomy bag. She looks like she's 40. She's now 71, I think. She was 65 at the time, 6 years ago. So 71 and looks dynamo. And she just, you know, she just butted in the conversation and she goes, "Well, you know," and somebody said, they show, and she goes, "Well, thanks to Mary Jo." And I was like, "No, it's not thanks to me." But the beauty of that, there's people out there that will never, ever stop taking these products because the major impact it had on their lives, right? This isn't heal, cure, mitigate. This is just making a difference in the quality of their health, right? Can you say that these products make a difference in the quality of people's health? Absolutely. That doesn't say heal, cure, mitigate. But why are we not sharing? We should be sharing with everyone. We have that. Each one of us has a revolution cornered inside of our vessel. And why are we quiet? What is yours and how are you driving toward it? And no matter what it is, we all need to start to step up and fight for it. And it doesn't matter.
I mean, Mary Jo, I think you have to own your role in that woman's life because there's plenty of people. Jesus couldn't infect the people in his own hometown, and you were able to do it in your church. That's a feat. They would have never known about Manitoba had it not been for you. So you have to own that part.
Right. Well, I get it, but I can't. Owning it only comes by being bold enough to be out there and be in people's lives. And this is a woman that, and I'll listen to this, I'll even conclude the story so everybody gets this story about just this one. I mean, there are plenty of them in my church. This one is just, why does she stand special to me? Because I tried to get her on the products for a number of years because she had a condition with her colon. And she just, I sold her the Ambertose powder and she quit after a couple months. And she just looked at me, she goes, "I can't take it, that stuff. I can't mix it in anything." She's fussy. She's, you know, she's a millionaire, right? So she's worth a lot of money and she's just fussy about it. She wasn't going to take it, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of let it go. And then this whole colostomy bag came up and I was like, what? I wasn't going to let that happen. I went back to her. I just really hammered on her and I said, "What if I encapsulate it for you? Do you know, people, I encapsulate her Ambertose every single month for 6 years. Every month. Because I will do that because of the difference it makes. You follow?" So that's why she's a special story. Yeah. You know, how many of us would do that? Probably not very many, but you know what? If you watch TV, don't do it, you know, while you're supporting your favorite football team, because if they screw up, you might throw the whole TV tray and everything goes fine. But, you know, if you're going to sit there and watch TV at any, you know, any time of the month, you can put together, you can encapsulate a tub of Ambertose. It takes me about 1 hour these days because I'm so proficient at it. It might take you an hour and a half if you're just starting. But why do I do it? Because of my love for her and my contribution. And I know what a difference it makes in her life. But there are plenty of people all around us. And I had to fight that battle. Some of you go, "Mary Jo, everybody says no to me." Well, how determined are you? That's another question to ask. How determined are you? And I think that I love this whole concept of the money back guarantee because, you know, and I never bring it up at the beginning stages ever. If you're sharing that to try to market to somebody, use it at the very end. If you see that it doesn't look like they're going to start on the product, that's when I use the money-back guarantee, only as the final sales point. You follow? Because I really want them to buy into the concept of their health is important. So I only use it as a final concept. If you're trying to market it up front, then it sounds kind of sleazy to me. I know for me personally, it would. Oh, I have 100% money back. I'm going, oh, yeah, they need that in order to sell it, so it must be a piece of crap. I mean, you see what people conclude, all sorts of crazy stuff. So be smart about how you work with people. In fact, one of my projects, I'll just throw this out to you guys, because I was talking to Landon the other day, I think it was, and I was just sharing with him that, you know, I've been in the Achievers Club every single month that it's been since it started. And I explained to him how I got a hoarder from New York City who I helped on my last mission trip become an associate in Manitech. How does that happen? Well, because I shared with her a little bit as I was helping her with her hoarding stuff, and any of you who've ever worked with hoarders, you know that that's a very difficult task, but I always first bring them in to build a friendship with them, which takes me about 5 minutes, and then I just have fun with them. I make the experience fun. When you make it fun, people, if they can laugh and have joy while they're doing it, guess what? It really takes away that edginess around it. So we had fun, and I told her about, you know, what I do, and less than 3 minutes probably the whole day that I was there, the 3 hours I was there, maybe 3 to 5 minutes on, you know, that I love health and I work with a company and I just absolutely love it, and, you know, I love supporting the product line because they have such incredible products that really make a difference in people's lives. And so just through that, she called me. She said, you were supposed to get back in touch with me. She called me a week later, and I had been so busy trying to get back home and settled in after a week gone, and I talked to her on the phone, and I shared this with Landon. I said, you know, she just wanted to be on the product, and I said, well, this is the number one product you need to take is Ambertose, and I shared a little bit about that, and she goes, yeah, well, I'd like to get that. You were gonna tell me how I can buy it, and I said, you know what, one of the things you and I talked about when I was out there with you is that you are so strapped for cash. I said, there's a way I can really support you in that as well. And she said, how's that? And I described to her what this was. And I know she had friends in the apartment complex and other people she knew. And she goes, Mary Jo, I'd love that. And so I brought her in as an associate. But notice how simple that was. Just knowing somebody. I mean, I said to Landon, I said, wouldn't that be cool if we could get a few of these, you know, communications taped and put on maybe a video recording? I don't know. Maybe it would help the field. But I think we're not out there enough. I know I'm not, because I feel I have a propensity to be able to do this, but I have 20 other projects on my platter, and if I did it more, I'd be more successful with it. But the idea is that if that would help everybody in the field, I think that would be a cool thing to do. If you guys have feedback on it, if you'd love to watch some videos of just some people that are, you know, how they communicate, how they work one-on-one with people, if that would give you more ideas and maybe help you fine-tune what you're doing. Does that make sense? Anyone feedback on that or not?
It does make sense. You got to model it. I think that makes the most sense because you're so natural, you don't realize what you're doing a lot of times, Mary Jo.
No, it just comes from my heart.
Right.
You know, it's just a natural flow. But even with this hoarder, this woman, it wasn't that I looked at her like she was going to be the most successful presidential director Manitech's ever seen. It's the fact that, wow, I never thought about this, but, you know, there's a vehicle here for you, Pam, that could, you know, bring you extra cash in your life, and I know you're really concerned about that. And that would make a difference in your life, because I want to help her more than just with Ambertose. But it came from my heart. It's not about you looking at how it's going to support your business. It's more, how are you going to support this human being in their life? And when people can read that and know that about you, there's a huge transition that they have in terms of opening their eyes and accepting the opportunity, right? Yeah.
But so stories are what we're built on, kiddo, so you're on the right track.
I know. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
It is stories, yeah. So, all right, good. Well, thanks. I appreciate your insight, Michael. I appreciate it. But that's it. So, you know, the concept for you guys is, you know, Let me give you, can I give you a highlight on where this gentleman is today? By the way, he has 400 schools built in his project. Is that awesome or awesome? How many of us, there's a difference. He's only in his 30s now, and he has 400 schools across the world built. Best-in-class strategy, just like Bain Cat. So he took this ultimate highest-end financial planning strategy for Fortune 500 companies, and he applied it to building preschool and grade school across the world. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's like so off the charts. I was like, and he's only in his 30s. And he's about to get married, and his wife had a ton of student loan debt. And he goes, well, you just file bankruptcy. He didn't know much about student loan debt. And for those of you on this call, you probably realize that's one of the loans or debts that you cannot get rid of in bankruptcy, right? So there's no way. And when he heard that and all of that, and he started studying the problem, guess what his next problem he's tackling? He has dedicated over the next 12 months to come up with an incredible strategy to help offset and get rid of student loan debt. And the guy's genius in what he did in this simple concept, simple application, because he had put his all heart and soul into it. I believe he's going to come up with an incredible solution for that. So I'm excited about him and what he's doing. And again, if you want to go watch his video on YouTube, you can go look him up, Adam Braun. He's got a couple other ones out there now. That's how I learned about where he is today in terms of student loan debt, and he's got 400 schools plus. You can go visit Pencils of Promise, the website, and just see what he's created, and just go, okay, good. And I don't want anyone, all of you, I want one thing. I want one thing. I don't want any of you going and doing that and going, oh my gosh, what I could have done. Stop it. You know, just write down on your piece of paper right at this moment, today is the first day of the rest of my life. What am I going to do with it? Don't worry about the past, because the past is a pest. And if you're wearing that backpack on your back and you got all those rocks stored in it from your past, please let go of the backpack. Release it from you, free yourself up, and look at today as the first day of the rest of your life. You can't do anything about the past, but you can do so much about the future. So let's go make a difference. All right, everybody, love you guys. Have a great week. Let's go bust through and have that killer end of business period experience. And look forward to November, a great new month for us all to tackle. Bye, everyone.